We interrupt your regularly scheduled podcast to bring you Listen, Watch, Discuss. Enjoy the show. Hey everyone, welcome back to Listen, Watch, Discuss. As always, I'm your host, Brent Aiken. And on tonight's episode, I will be doing my Christmas episode. And tonight's episode will not just be one review of a Christmas movie or special, but it will in fact be four. I'll be reviewing four different movies and specials, because they were just, with the exception of the last one I'll be reviewing, they were all ones that I've recently rewatched and have not had a chance to talk about yet on the podcast in Christmas seasons past, or you know, or in the last few years when November and December hit. So I figured, what better time to talk about them than on tonight's episode, when I couldn't think of a, you know, one specific thing to talk about. And this episode will be a little bit shorter because, well, you know, it's tomorrow's Christmas Eve and, you know, Christmas after that. So I figured I would let you guys, you know, just have a shorter episode, or I'd give you guys a shorter episode, and also because I want to catch up on some Daredevil and watch another Christmas movie or two, or well, probably one, and read some of my Angel comic. I ordered the comic to the Angel series because I finished Angel. Well, I mean, yeah, you guys know this if you've been listening to the podcast, but 2 weeks ago I finished Angel, and I ordered the first comic from the After the Fall series, which people have, you know, dubbed season six. So I was like, oh yeah, I want to know what happens with the characters going forward, because the comics are canon, you know, Joss Whedon. And, you know, he had some other comic book artists and writers work with him to make the comic. But I was like, oh yeah, he considers them canon. And so I was like, oh yeah, I definitely got to read this. So, and I haven't read it in like 2 days. I haven't read any of it in 2 days. I'm like two chapters into it. It's really good so far. But yeah, I just tonight's episode will be a little bit shorter. You know, it won't be quite an hour. It may be 30-40 minutes, if that. So yeah, just so I can read the comic and watch some Daredevil and watch a Christmas watch a Christmas movie or special. So yeah, I think I'll start off with The Nightmare Before Christmas. And if you haven't seen The Nightmare Before Christmas, how you have at least heard of it. I mean, honestly, if you haven't seen The Nightmare Before Christmas, how have you not seen it by now? But if you haven't seen it by now, you've at least heard of it. You've at least seen the goth girls with the Jack Skellington tattoos. You know, you've seen the shirts at Hot Topic. You've heard the, this is Halloween, this is Halloween. You know, you've heard the opening song. You know, whether it's the original version or the Marilyn Manson version, you've heard the, what's this? What's this? There's color everywhere. You know, you've heard that song from that Jack sings when he gets to the North Pole. You know, there's something you've seen or heard from this movie, because it's such a pop culture phenomenon. You know, it's like, this year marks the 30th anniversary of the movie. It came out, and because it's a half a Halloween movie too. It came out in October 29th, 1993. And yeah, I love the movie. It's a great movie. I mean, because the plot, you know, is pretty much the Pumpkin King of Halloween Town. Jack Skellington, he's they have a mayor, but Jack is pretty much like the leader of the town, or, you know, everyone, including the mayor, looks up to him because he's the, you know, the scariest, monster alive, you know, and everyone looks up to him and respects him and values his every opinion and everything he has to say. You know, they just wait in anticipation. But, you know, Jack has grown tired of Halloween. So he decides to, you know, he goes walking one night and he stumbles into this forest with these trees circling around each other. And the trees have doors to other holiday worlds. He stumbles into Christmas Town or the North Pole. He goes through the Christmas tree door and he gets to the North Pole or Christmas Town. and decides to take over Christmas, pretty much. And, you know, that ends up, that leads to him kidnapping Santa and becoming Santa himself, complete with his own sleigh and skeleton reindeer. And, you know, it's, the whole, you know, time, Sally, this Frankenstein's bride, that, Dr., I want to say his name was Dr. Finkelstein, but yeah, this, mad scientist, Dr. Finkelstein is created, keeps trying to warn him of, you know, like, hey, maybe you shouldn't hijack someone else's holiday. And, Jack's so preoccupied with the fact that he has something new to obsess over. He has a new holiday that he has not grown tiresome of yet, because it's brand new to him and he's just completely captivated with it and by it. It's cool to see, you know. And not only is the plot great, and it's cool because, you know, it's half a Halloween movie and half a Christmas movie. Like, it starts off with Halloween, but pretty much about half and half of it, is divided, is shared between the two holidays. So, you know, it's perfect to watch on Halloween, or the month of Halloween, October, and it's perfect to watch in December, late November, for Christmas, because both holidays get about enough mentions and enough screen time and enough of a presence in the story to where, you know, it's a perfect double holiday movie, you know. And I'm on top of the plot and on top of it, you know, being two holiday movies in one, essentially. You know, you've got the voice cast. The voice cast is fantastic. You've got Chris Sarandon, who does the speaking voice for Jack Skellington. And you've got Danny Elfman, who does his singing voice. And before I even knew that, before I looked it up, I didn't realize that Jack had two different voices for his speaking and singing voice. I thought it was just Danny Elfman, you know, because Chris and Danny sound so similar. I was like, oh, it's got to be just Danny Elfman singing, speaking, right? But no, it's two different people. And I commend them for finding such a close-sounding Danny Elfman impersonator, you know. Or not an impersonator, essentially, but just, or not an impersonator per se, but just like someone who sounds so close to Danny Elfman's singing voice. And, you know, but you've got them, you've got Catherine O'Hara, you know, Kevin's mom from the Home Alone movies, who plays Sally, who's, you know, she's the Frankenstein's monster creation of Dr. Finkelstein, and she, you know, is head over heels in love with Jack, you know, which is why she is trying to warn him of the visions she sees of, you know, Christmas, you know, being destroyed because Jack is obsessed with it and trying to hijack, again, like I said, hijack someone else's holiday. And you've got, just everyone. Ken Page does a great job as the villain, Oogie Boogie, or Oogie Boogie, Oogie Boogie. The entire cast does a great job. The animation's fantastic. I mean, it, you know, it's all stop motion. And, you know, it looks just as good today as it did, you know, 30 years ago when the movie came out. And, you know, the musicals, like, every song is great. I mean, some are better than others, but they're all really good. I mean, you've got Oogie Boogie's song. You've got What's This? You know, you've got the Jack's song when he's in the North Pole. You've got the opening song, This is Halloween. And, yeah, it's just, it's, and then the movie, and it's a relatively short movie. It's only, like, an hour and 16 minutes, which, you know, is not that bad of a length of a movie. I mean, it's short, but, like, they pack so much in, you know, visually with the animation and with the characters and all the songs and how the plot moves along and moves forward. They pack so much into that short amount of time. It's commendable, you know, how much is, you know, packed into this movie. And, yeah, it's just overall, it's a great movie that, like I said, can be watched you could watch it any time of the year. You know, you can watch any Christmas or Halloween movie during the year. It doesn't have to necessarily be on those two holidays or those 2 to 3 months towards the end of the year. But, you know, it's always cool to, and, you know, it's very fitting to watch Christmas and Halloween and, any holiday stuff near the holiday that you're watching it about, that it's about, And it's just cool that, you can watch this movie. There's two different holidays. You could essentially watch it the last 3 months of the year because, everyone pretty much watches Christmas stuff. As soon as Halloween ends, everyone's just like, okay, well, it's Christmas now. Let's start celebrating Christmas. So, like, people start watching and celebrating, getting Christmas stuff up, November 1st. So you can pretty much watch this movie the last 3 months of the year. And it's just a fantastic movie. Tim Burton came up with a great story, some great characters. Henry Selick directed the shit out of the movie. And he would go on later to direct Coraline, which was also a great movie. And yeah, it's just a great Halloween and Christmas movie that, was it, it's been 30 years and people still love and remember it, and I have no doubt that 30 years from now we'll still be talking about and watching it and cosplaying as the characters. People will still be watching the movie, singing along to the soundtrack, cosplaying as Jack and Sally, and yeah, just enjoying this classic movie. So up next, I will be reviewing Klaus. And now we have Klaus. And unlike the Nightmare Before Christmas, this is a 2D animated Christmas movie that was released fairly recently. It premiered on Netflix on November 8th of 2019. And I remember when the movie came out 4 years ago, I watched it and I absolutely loved it. I thought the animation was fantastic, the humor was hilarious, the characters were well written and played off each other really well. And it was just, if it hasn't already become one, I feel like over time, people will watch this and love this, and it will go down as an instant Christmas classic. But the movie takes place in 19th century Norway, and the Royal Postmaster General runs a postman training academy. He runs a tight, well-oiled ship at the academy. But his son, Jesper Johansen, is the exact opposite of an excellent postman, what anyone strives to be at the academy. He is lazy, spoiled, and self-centered. So his dad decides to send him to the faraway town of Smeerensburg, in the hopes that, he will change, in his time there. He tasks him with posting 6,000 letters within a year, and if he doesn't, he'll be cut off from the family fortune. Reluctantly, Jesper goes. And when he gets there, he finds that the town is very unwelcoming and the citizens are very unfriendly with each other. In fact, they have a bell that they ring specifically to start and end brawls. Like, anytime anyone rings the battle bell, they engage in this fight. And the town is split off or split in half between the Krums and the Ellingbos. And there are these two families that since the dawn of time, they have essentially just been in this petty, really petty rivalry where neither of them are willing to either admit that the other's wrong or to admit that they're wrong, or just to, shake hands and get over it. And the matriarch and patriarch of the families are the worst of all, Mrs. Crumb and Mr. Ellingbo. They are the ones that are willing to keep the feud going. But Jesper runs in, meets the reclusive Klaus, who, Santa Claus, and he ends up, posting the letters along with Klaus, who, Santa Claus makes toys. He makes the toys for the children, and Jesper gets the kids in the town to write letters, and slowly but surely he begins to meet his goal, or he begins to reach his goal of 6,000 letters. And over the course of the movie, Jesper becomes less lazy and spoiled and self-centered and starts to open up to the citizens of the town and Klaus. And and everyone in town starts to actually open up and be friendly and warm and neighborly. But, the rival, the heads of the family, Mrs. Crumb, and the head of the other family, Mr. Ellingbo, decide to, they're pretty much the villains. They are like, we got to put a stop to this postman and this Klaus guy, because they are turning the town into this happy, warm, welcoming place, and we need to, as Mr. Ellingbo says, we need to unite in peace to stop this peace. And yeah, that's that's the plot. And I absolutely, like I said, absolutely loved the movie, or I absolutely love the movie. The animation is fantastic. It's 2D animated, but looking at it, it's so well animated, it almost kind of looks like CGI. But it is, in fact, 2D animation, and it just looks so crisp and clean and you know, fluid, like the animation's so smooth. And it's just, you know, when you first watch it, it's like, wow, this is, like, fantastic, the way everything looks. Like, the colors, the lighting, the motion and movement of all the characters. It's just fantastic, you know. And on top of that, the voice cast is stacked. You've got Jason Schwartzman voicing Jesper, who, you know, you may know as Gideon from Scott Pilgrim versus the World, and the Scott Pilgrim Takes Off, the animated series, which I did a review on both of those, if for those of you who have been listening to the podcast. He does a great job as Jesper. J.K. Simmons, I mean, the legendary, you know, J.K. Simmons, I've talked about him before, but Ford from Gravity Falls, Tenzin from The Legend of Korra, J. Jonah Jameson in the Sam Raimi Spider-Man trilogy. You know, I could go on, but he's done a ton of voice acting and acting work. He kills it, you know, as Klaus. He makes a great Santa. Rashida Jones from The Office, you know, Karen from The Office and Anne from Parks and Rec. She plays Alva, a teacher who's not related to the Crumbs or Ellingbos. She moved to the town and she's the teacher there. And over the course of the film, she starts to actually enjoy, because the students actually end up going to the school and she ends up teaching, and she finds that she actually enjoys teaching, and she becomes a warmer, brighter person too. And she changes into a, you know, kinder person as the movie progresses. But she does a great job. And she's also, and her and Jesper sort of form a relationship, and it's very sweet to kind of see that develop. And there's a bunch more. Oh, and Joan Cusack voices the Mrs. Crumb, Jesse from Toy Story 2. Fantastic job. And Norm Macdonald, who this was actually his final film role before he died, tragically, in 2021. Or was it 2020? It was either 20... Let me look, just so I don't get the date. No, okay, it was 2021. Yeah, he died in... I thought it was 2021. Yeah, so this was his final film role before he sadly passed away in 2021. And he does a fantastic job, too. Just that he plays this... fisherman Mogan, who transports Jesper to the town. When he gets to the lake, he transports him across the lake to, or across the ocean, across the lake to the town. And he pops up, and he pretty much he also takes out all the outgoing mail too. When Jesper, you know, has any letters, he comes and picks up the letters and takes them out. So, you know, it was his back and forth with Jesper throughout the movie is fantastic and hilarious. And just, his like deadpan delivery almost, or just his, well, not deadpan, but his sarcastic smarminess, you know. Norm Macdonald does a great job at voicing, the character, and his back and forth with Jesper is fantastic. And yeah, I loved seeing, because, you know, with every Christmas movie, and I'll say this about the last Christmas special that I reviewed, or movie special that I review tonight, but with every Christmas movie or special that includes Santa, that has a Santa in it, one of the best and most fun things about watching Christmas specials and movies is seeing how they portray Santa, because every movie and show or special does it differently. They all have their own kind of unique spin on Santa and the elves and the reindeer. You know, like, and, you know, because some specials and movies, you know, that have Santa, they have the eight main reindeer, and sometimes they have Rudolph, sometimes they don't. You know, sometimes the elves are as tall as Santa, sometimes they're, you know, actual little people. And it's always fun to see what each movie and special does differently, because they're all similar, and yet they're all different enough, you know, to where they're not all the same exact, you know, look and origin story. And I love the origin story that they have for how Santa or how Klaus became Santa. You know, it's fantastic, you know, great origin story. And it kind of reminds me of Santa Claus is Coming to Town a little bit with the, you know, the whole town, you know, being kind of a depressed, hate-filled place. And then Santa comes and, you know, sort of, and the postman is the narrator. You know, Santa helps the town realize that, you know, we should be more kind and forgiving and opening warm and opening up to people, you know. And it was great to see how they executed that in the movie, the town going from, and I'm not saying it's the exact same story, I'm just saying it's similar to the old Rankin Bass special, Santa Claus is Coming to Town. But yeah, I guess that's all I have to say about the movie. But if you haven't watched it yet, you owe it to yourself to watch it, because it is a great, like I said, pretty much Christmas classic to me. It's just, animation's fantastic, the voice acting, the humor, the origin story, you know, how Santa became, or how Klaus became Santa, you know, how he gets the elves, which I won't spoil, but that's, you know, kind of cool to see. The sleigh and the reindeer, and they pretty much like incorporate and include every myth about and legend and moment of the myth and character that is Santa. So I really loved that. But yeah, if you haven't seen it, go watch it. It's on Netflix. It's a Netflix original, so it's always going to be on Netflix. But yeah, I guess that's all I have to say about this one. So now let's move on to the third movie, which technically is not a movie, it's just a half-hour Christmas special. But now I will be reviewing the BoJack Horseman Christmas special. And now we have the BoJack Horseman Christmas special, Sabrina's Christmas Wish. Now, I have not had the pleasure of talking about BoJack Horseman on the podcast yet. I think I'll talk about it. I'll do a review on it next August, because next August will be the 10-year anniversary of when the show first came out, or first premiered. So I feel like that'd be very fitting to do a review of the show then. But yeah, if you don't know what BoJack Horseman is, it's essentially one of Netflix's most popular animated series. It's an adult animated show that ran from August of 2014 on Netflix, from August of 2014 to January of 2020. It had six seasons, 77 episodes, I believe. It was like 77. 77. And one of them was the Christmas special, which was not technically in a specific season. It aired as its own standalone special in between seasons one and two. So it premiered a few months after season one did, on December 19th of 2014. But essentially, BoJack Horseman, the show, I'll give you a brief synopsis of what it's about. It's essentially about, it takes place in this world where humans and anthropomorphic animal people coexist. And the titular character, BoJack Horseman, is in fact what his last name says he is. He is a horseman. He's got the body of a human, with the exception of, you know, being entirely covered in horse hair, horse fur, you know. But he has no tail, but he does have the head of a horse. And he used to have the biggest sitcom in the 80s and late 80s, early 90s, Horsin' Around, which essentially was like a Full House knockoff / parody. And the plot of his sitcom was essentially a horse adopting three orphan children, all of different ages, all siblings too. There was Olivia, the oldest. And then you had Ethan, who was the middle child, and then Sabrina, who was the youngest. And ever since his show kind of got canceled, BoJack is just, you know, the show pretty much follows him as a washed-up has-been celebrity trying to discover what to do next 20 years after the cancellation of his show. Or, you know, ever since the show ended, it's just, you know, it's kind of him going like, well, what can I do next? You know, write a memoir, star in another show, or star in this movie based on, you know, a personal hero of mine. He does a lot. And the show goes to some crazy, dark, very funny places, but also very dark and depressing places that if you're not expecting it, especially if you see the season one trailer and then go into the show, you know, it catches you off guard. And that's what I really loved watching it for the first time, was that I was like, shit, this is getting kind of dark and depressing. But then they'll also have some funny moments. And the funny thing is that the funny moments don't really undercut the dramatic, dark, serious moments. Like, the show does a great job at balancing both drama and comedy, I think. And not to mention, it has a fantastic, catchy as hell theme song, kind of jazzy electronic theme song. But yeah, that's pretty much, you know, and then he's got, you know, an ex-girlfriend who's also his agent, Princess Carolyn, who's a cat woman, not cat woman, but she is a female cat lady. Mr. Peanut Butter, who is a golden retriever dog man, who starred in a rival sitcom that was pretty much just a knockoff of his show, where it was Mr. Peanut Butter's character adopting two twins. I mean, it was like he was adopting children, and he was an animal person. So it was kind of like a knockoff of his show, in a way. And then you have his human friend Todd, who pretty much just crashed at his place one night after a party and never left. and Diane, Todd was a human, yeah. And then Diane, you have this human woman who starts off as BoJack's ghostwriter, and also Mr. Peanut Butter's fiance. And yeah, there's just and that's like the core cast, but there are a ton more side characters, and just a lot that happens in the show. But the Christmas special is another really good Christmas special, and it's only like with the show, it's only, you know, half an hour, 23-24 minutes, and it's just a really funny episode of the show that just happens to take place on Christmas. But because they're in Hollywood, LA, there's no snow on the ground, so it's, you know, it's just a regular day in LA. And BoJack, pretty much, the episode starts off with Todd, you know, his roommate, wanting to waking him up to celebrate Christmas, and, you know, desperately wanting to watch a Christmas episode of BoJack's old show, Horsin' Around. The episode titled Sabrina's Christmas Wish, which is also the name of the actual episode. But BoJack doesn't really want to, but he begrudgingly accepts it. And, you know, throughout the episode, we just keep cutting back. We do actually spend most of the episode watching the actual episode of Horsin' Around. But every now and then we'll cut back to Todd and BoJack, like, talking about the episode. And it's just a funny episode. The episode within the episode, the episode of Horsin' Around they're watching, Sabrina's Christmas Wish, essentially focuses on BoJack's, well, his character in the show was literally just called Horse, but Horse's daughter in the show, Sabrina, discovers, you know, she finds out about Santa, and she decides, oh, you know what, I'm going to wish for my parents to come back, and they're dead. And obviously, you know, because it's a, like, late 80s, early 90s sitcom, that leads to some hijinks and hilarity and touching heartfelt feelings ensue as you would expect in a 80s 90s sitcom episode, especially a Christmas episode of a sitcom from that era. And yeah, it's just and that's the plot, you know, and Horse, you know, and Olivia and Ethan try to bring Sabrina to the realization that Santa doesn't exist, and their parents can never come back. Her and Olivia and Ethan's parents are gone. And the episode in the the episode, that episode itself is great. But then, you know, you have these moments, like I said, with BoJack and Todd, like, doing commentary, talking about the episode, which just makes the episode even funnier. In fact, there's this, because not only are the jokes, you know, in the plot of the Christmas special funny, but everything involving BoJack and Todd talking about the episode is just as funny, if not funnier. There's this running joke where Todd starts the episode off eating this huge-ass candy cane, like it's the size of him, and he crawls into BoJack's bed, and they're watching when Todd gets him to reluctantly finally watch the episode, the special. Todd is eating he's starting to eat the candy cane. He's at the beginning of the candy cane, and every time we cut back to him and Todd, or him and BoJack talking about the special, he's gotten a little bit further with the candy cane, but then there's also more and more candy cane just smeared across like his clothes, and then he got some on the wall and on the bed frame, and it's like, how, it's just funny, just the visual of it, because it's like, how the hell is Todd being this messy with this candy cane? And then there's jokes, like Todd, there's a scene where Todd mentions that BoJack, he's like, you're a really good actor, BoJack, and then BoJack just getting pissed that Todd keeps interrupting the episode. He keeps pausing it, like, are you going to talk this whole time? And and there's, you know, the jokes with them are great. And then the joke, like I said, the jokes in the episode they're watching are great. Like, there's this running joke where there's this member of the audience, because the, you know, like with Full House, they pretty much filmed it in front of a live studio audience. So Horsin' Around, since it's a sitcom from that era, is also filmed in front of a live studio audience. So there's this running joke where one of the audience members keeps just blurting out, like, he's just kind of being obnoxious and blurting out random shit. Like, excuse me, I was choking up laughing about it. But there's this line where one of the audience members, BoJack's flirting with a secretary at his job, and the audience, you know, goes like, ooh, like how the audience normally goes whenever two characters are kind of flirting with each other. And there's there's a guy in the audience that just yells, "Kiss her!" And then later, when they're talking about this Jewish guy that works at BoJack's, or his character's company, and he's like, he's talking to his boss, and BoJack's character's boss says, you know what, if, I forgot the character's name, but he's like, you know what, if Neil, or whatever his name is, if he wants to come into work today, he can come into work, but just know that, you know, you can go celebrate Christmas, you know, if he wants to, you know, go into work on Christmas, that's his business. And then the audience member just yells out some just racist shit. He's like, fire that Jew. And it's just like, he just keeps, the more times he, you know, says anything, the more out of pocket the comments are, and just out of, you know, the most random inopportune times. And I mean, I could keep going on. There's a bunch of funny jokes in the episode. The song at the beginning where Todd's singing his own, a version of Joy to the World, where he says, it's like, Joy to the world, Todd is here, he drank up all your beer. and the whole time, like, because he's trying to get BoJack to wake up, he's like, hey, it's Christmas. And while he's singing his version of Joy to the World, he's like banging a pot and a spoon together. And it's just hilarious. Their dynamic's great. Just Todd being his upbeat, happy self, and BoJack just being so, like, oh God, will this guy just shut up? I can just sleep in. Just his constant annoyance with Todd is hilarious, and their dynamic changes a lot throughout the show. But they do some great things with their friendship. But yeah, so, I mean, if you've never seen BoJack Horseman, again, like I said with Klaus, you owe yourself, to watch it. It's a great adult animated show that perfectly blends comedy and drama. And, it may not have the most smooth, most detailed animation, but I do actually like the style. Like, I do like the animation. It's, unique, and it's not really something that looks like anything you've seen before, or, you know, it looks different enough, and that's what I like about it. If you have seen the show and you haven't seen the Christmas special, which I get why you may not have, considering that it's not listed with the show, because, like I said, it aired in between seasons. But if you haven't seen that Christmas special, or if you haven't seen the show, definitely watch it. And if you have, and you haven't seen Sabrina's Christmas Wish, do yourself a favor and watch it, because it is just as funny as the show. I mean, because it is still the show. It's an episode of the show, just, you know, like I said, in between seasons one and two. But yeah, so with that being said, let's move on to the final review of tonight, which is the movie Noël. And last but not least, we have Noël. Now, Noël premiered around the same time Klaus did, actually. It premiered 4 days after Klaus did, on November 12th of 2019, and it was one of Disney Plus's first original movies and or shows to be released on their streaming service, because Disney Plus, well, you know, it debuted as a streaming service only 4 years ago. So in its infancy, they released Noelle. And I remember seeing the trailer for it when the trailer came out in like October of 2019. And I thought that it looked good. It looked like it could be a new Christmas classic, a fun, funny, well-acted Christmas movie. And I just never got around to watching it. I forgot by the time Christmas passed in 2019, and every year since, I was like, oh, I'll get to it. And then I kept forgetting to get to it. And by the time Christmas came and went, I just said, you know what, I'll watch it next Christmas. And fortunately, I got around to and remembered to watch it this year. And I liked it a lot. I thought it was really good. I was just cozying up next to my heater, my fireplace heater. I enjoyed some delicious peppermint ice cream with peppermint chunks in it and some eggnog in my Santa mug. And just sat under my blanket and in my chair and watching the movie. And it is a really, to me, a really good Christmas movie. Might not be the best. Like, I like Spirited more than this one. But I do think, as far as Christmas movies go, this was a really good one. And I mean, you know, it might not be the best or the funniest, but it did have some pretty funny moments in it. And I like with Klaus, like I said with Klaus, the what they do, you know, the setting of the North Pole and how the elves look and how the whole Santa, you know, who is Santa and how the reindeer look, just the whole mythos, you know, the mythology of Santa and how he looks and all and what the elves look like and how the North Pole operates. They all, you know, every Christmas movie or special has their own interpretation of Santa and everything that encapsulates the North Pole and the elves and all that. So, you know, seeing how Noel, what they did with how their North Pole looked and all the reindeer and Santa Claus and, you know, it was really cool to see. I liked seeing their interpretation of the Santa mythology and all that. But yeah, so the movie pretty much is about Noelle, the title character, who is Santa Claus's daughter, played by Anna Kendrick, who does a great job. And she is, she tragically loses her father, and they have to pick another Santa. So Nick is the next in line to be Santa. He's going to be I believe it was the 24th Santa. And unfortunately, Nick doesn't really want to do it, or he's skeptical about doing it. So Noelle decides, you know, oh, and by the way, Nick is played by Bill Hader, who does a fantastic job. You know, he was Barry in the HBO series Barry, voice of Fear in Inside Out. He was Flint Lockwood, the voice of Flint in Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs. SNL, you know, SNL actor for a good while in the early, late, mid-2010s. Fantastic comedic and dramatic actor. But yeah, he plays Nick. And Nick isn't quite sure he wants to do it. He's kind of skeptical about it. But Noelle decides, she says, you know what, take the weekend off, come back next week. And if you still want to do it, you know, maybe you'll reconsider. You can do it then. But he ends up not, you know, it's a week later and he still isn't back. So, you know, this leads Noelle to having to go find him. She finds him in Phoenix, Arizona, and she goes with her nanny, who is also one of the elves, Polly. She takes the sleigh and reindeer, and the two of them go to find Nick. And, you know, along the way, they run into a man and his a recently divorced man and his son, who, you know, Noelle helps, you know, rekindle his, or, you know, kind of mend his relationship with his ex-wife, not to the point where they get back together, but to the point where he's comfortable with going to visit his kid and her new boyfriend on Christmas. You know, so he's Jack. His name's Jack. He's a detective, and he's kind of a little skeptical and a little bit more kind of at first weirded out by Noel, but as the movie progresses, he realizes that, oh yeah, well no, she actually is the daughter of Santa. And their friendship is great to see. But yeah, they she meets a couple humans or a couple people, Jack and his kid Alex, and they meet this woman who runs this like outlet mall in Phoenix, Helen. She meets a deaf girl and her mother. And yeah, they meet a few humans along, or a few Arizonians along the way. Yeah, because I mean, I guess technically Noelle is a human, but she meets some other humans along the way. And Noelle has to get Nick back home because if they don't have a Santa, Christmas, will be ruined forever. Because they've never had a Santa not deliver presents at all. In the entire history of their family being Santa, they've never had a Santa not deliver presents on Christmas Eve. And there's a funny subplot where their cousin Gabe tries to automate the whole Christmas present delivery system, where he's like, oh yeah, we'll just use drones and Amazon to deliver the presents. And he comes up with this algorithm, because he's like the tech genius in the family. So he comes up with this algorithm to determine which kids have been naughty and which ones have been nice. And he comes to the realization that, using the algorithm, that, oh, there's only like 2,700 or 2,780 children that have been nice this year. And there's some funny moments, with the subplot of back at the North Pole, of him desperately trying to be a good Santa and failing miserably at it. There's a funny running joke where they have this council of elder elves. And the elder elf Abe keeps ba like anytime they're in their like court hall or courtroom, or the main hall of the, where at the North Pole, or the town meeting hall. They're there, and every time he bangs his gavel, he's like, "Settle down, settle down." And it's made of peppermint, so each time he keeps like accidentally smashing the gavel and eating a chunk of peppermint. But the third time he does it, because comedy works in threes, the third time he does it, he doesn't break the peppermint gavel, and he's disappointed, and he just takes a lick of it and then he puts it back down on the table. So, like there are a lot of funny jokes like that. It might not be laugh out loud every minute for everyone, but to me, there were a good amount of jokes that made the movie a delight to watch. It made it very funny. And it was cool to see. I loved seeing, kind of a fish out of water story, how Noelle, because she spent her entire adult childhood and adult life up until this point at the North Pole. So she's kind of just new to everything that the rest of humanity has to offer. She's never really, all she knows is what she's read in magazines, in like People magazine and other stuff like that, or what she's seen maybe on TV, but she's never really been out into the world. So I loved seeing that. And Anna Kendrick, I mean, she's gorgeous, first of all, but she is just a delight to watch. She's very cheerful and upbeat and positive. And she, honestly, I think she's probably one of my add her to the list of my celebrity crushes. She is just beyond beautiful. Beautiful brown hair. She has a gorgeous eyes, perfect smile. But yeah, she's great. Anyway, me gushing over Anna Kendrick for a few seconds. But no, she's great as Noelle. She's just this delightful, cheery, upbeat character. And she has this pet reindeer, Snow Cone, who's adorable. He's this little albino reindeer. And it's always adorable her interacting with him. I loved her sibling dynamic with Nick. I thought her Anna Kendrick and Bill Hader played really well off each other. Whenever they were like, bonding, or whenever they got into an argument, it's like, oh yeah, their sibling dynamic is great. They're playing really well off each other. The other actors are really good too. Billy Eichner plays their cousin Gabe, who was Craig in Parks and Rec. Julie Haggerty plays their mother, and Shirley MacLaine plays their nanny slash elf, Polly, and they all do a really good job. And I guess that's pretty much it. that's all I have to say about the movie. It's just, if you haven't watched it, I suggest watching it. I think it's a good, if it's not good, it's at least decent. But to me, it's a good enough Christmas movie that, you know, it's shot really well. It's acted really well. And I like the plot. And like I said, what they do, their interpretation of Santa and the North Pole and elves and reindeer and all that is great to see, because everyone's interpretation, like I said, is the same but different, you know, different enough but similar enough, samey but differenty, you know. I know differenty is not a word, but you know, it's you know what I mean. But yeah, it's samey but differenty. And yeah, I think this is another one I'll be watching over the years, or you know, definitely next Christmas. I'll probably rewatch it again because I was trying to think of another movie that I could watch with my dad and stepmom, and I was like, oh yeah, well, if my dad doesn't want to watch it, I feel like my stepmom will like it because she likes Anna Kendrick, I showed both of them Klaus like a couple weeks ago, and they loved that one. So I have a feeling she'll at least like this one. If my dad doesn't, she'll probably like it. But yeah, if you haven't seen the movie, go check it out. It's on Disney Plus. I mean, you know, definitely the right time, perfect time to do it, because it's the 23rd, you know, have a couple days left of celebrating Christmas, or of the Christmas season. Perfect time to watch a new Christmas movie. So yeah, I guess that does it for tonight's episode. And I will, like I said, I will be back next week for my reviews of Daredevil and the season 7 finale, which will be my top 10 favorite movies of 2023 episode. Those will probably be Thursday and Friday, or they may both be on Friday. Hopefully they'll be on Friday. Probably Thursday or Friday, but definitely sometime before New Year's Eve. And yeah, I guess that does it for this week's episodes, the two episodes I've posted this week. And that does it for tonight's Christmas episode. I hope you all enjoyed it, and I hope everyone has a Merry Christmas. I know Hanukkah's over, but, you know, Happy Hanukkah, Merry Kwanzaa, Happy Ramadan, Happy Holidays, or Happy Boxing Day, which is technically the 26th in Canada. But, you know, it's close. And just Happy Holidays overall. If you don't celebrate Christmas, but the ones that do, Merry Christmas. The ones that don't, Happy Holidays, whatever holiday you celebrate. And yeah, just, I hope everyone has a good rest of the year and the next few days, celebrating Christmas or whatever holiday you are celebrating or have already celebrated. You know, enjoy, have a good rest of your weekend, a good next few days. And I will see you all next week for the last two episodes of Season 7. Stay tuned. And with that being said, I just said this. With that being said, I will see you all next week. So until then, take care.